Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. A good evening to all of my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the Radio Shepherd welcoming you to our Tuesday night prayer service. St. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing. One translation reads, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, this is the sweet hour of prayer. When we come before our Heavenly Father to bend our knees before Him, and to lift our hearts, to elevate our thinking, to ponder on His greatness, on His love, on His tender mercies, on His goodness, and to call upon Him time and time again that He would respond to us in the day of trouble. I have a nice little thought here today, and it reads like this: an important part of becoming a more mature Christian is learning to worry less and to trust God more. An important part of becoming a more mature Christian is learning to worry less and to trust more in God. Let's pray. Forgive me, Lord, when I worry. Worry reflects a lack of trust in your ability to meet our every need. Help me to work, Lord, and not to worry. Keep me mindful, Father, that nothing, absolutely nothing, will happen on this day that you and I cannot handle together. Amen. That is the truth. That is the reality. You see, not that God can handle it alone, but that He chooses to involve us. And that's where maturity comes in. I want to read to you the text that from which I'm going to be speaking today. And it reads out of Psalms 25, verse 1 and 2. It says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who has ever hoped in you will ever be put to shame, but they will put to shame treacherous without excuse. That is the text for today. And now let's pray. Let's bring before the Lord the lost. You know, as this world gets more and more sinful, and you and I can both agree that we can just see sin on the rise. Sin is on the rise everywhere. In our schools, in our colleges, in our universities, on TV, sin is spreading like gangrene. When you look at our churches even, sin is spreading. The pastors have introduced a little bit of leaven, not realizing and not taking to heart that St. Paul said a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Sin is everywhere. Darkness is everywhere. And yet the light of God's gospel still shines brightly within a few of us that are the light bearers of this gospel of Christ. And so the Lord will say to us, let your light shine before men. Let your light shine. Why? Because the globe, the earth, the cosmos is covered in complete spiritual darkness and wickedness. And so we want to pray for the lost, that they may, what? See the light. In fact, let's, before we begin to pray, let's read two scriptures that the Holy Spirit is just bringing to mind right now. The first scripture is found in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 is the first scripture. Matthew 4. And in Matthew 4, beginning at verse number 12, and this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth, it says, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Naphtali, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." Look at verse 16. A people that sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You see, Jesus was that light that Isaiah prophesied about. And Jesus came to people who sat in great darkness and sat in the region of death. And so when we speak about the lost, when we speak about the unregenerate, when we speak about the unsaved, these are people who abide in the land of darkness and in the region of death. Now, I want to also read Acts 26. And in Acts 26, the Lord Jesus is speaking to Paul, and he says this, I, Paul, Jesus, am telling you, Paul, I deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. To do what? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto the power of God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And Paul said, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Saints, we have been called to be light and to present the one true light, which the Gospel of John says in chapter 1, that light was the life of men. Yes, it is. So there are people right now who are lost in their sins. We call them unregenerate folk, folk who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They abide with death surrounding them and complete darkness in their hearts and in their minds. So let's pray right now for the lost. Let's bring these poor souls before the throne of grace. Plead that God would have mercy upon them, that God would consider their spiritual plight and condition, and that God would be so inclined to save them from eternal damnation. Father God, we come to you right now. For we know that there is no other that we can turn to when it comes to the lost. For even Jesus said, unless the Father draw them, they will not come. They will not come. Unless the Lord open their hearts like he did to Lydia in Acts 16. The Bible says that Lydia attended to the things that Paul was saying, and the Lord opened her heart. The Lord removed her blinders. What she could not see before, now she is seeing, for the Lord has graced her with the light. Father, we come to you and we implore you for our unsaved loved ones. We have in-laws and nieces and nephews and parents and aunts and uncles and cousins and brothers and sisters, grandparents. And you're not their Lord and Savior. They have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They do not have their names written in the Lamb's book of life. They are not sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. They have no eternal hope. They have no eternal salvation. And their eternal destiny is to reside, as we speak, in the belly of Gehenna. But we pray, Lord God, because we've heard throughout Scripture, throughout the Psalms, we've heard time and time again, whether through the mouth of David or through the mouth of Moses or through the pen of St. Paul or through the testimony of St. Peter, we've heard over and over and over that the Lord is merciful, that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, Lord, we turn to you. Save them, Lord. The harvest is plenteous. There are many souls who need to be rescued, but the laborers are few. Send men and women their way. Allow these unsaved people to have encounters with saved people. Allow the saved to minister life and redemption and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let the saved witness to the unsaved. Let the saved do like St. Paul when he ministered to the women by the riverbank in Philippi. And let the unsaved be like Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. We'll do our part, Lord. We'll speak. We'll open our mouths. We'll share Jesus. And then, Lord, we pray that you would do your part, that you would open hearts, that you would grant them faith, that you would open, as it says in the book of Acts chapter 14, and God opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Not only are you opening the door of their hearts, but also you're opening up the door to the kingdom. We pray that you would have mercy on the lost. We beseech you, Lord. We implore you. We seek your face on behalf of the lost throughout the entire world. People who are lost in false religions. People who are lost in self-righteousness. People who are lost because they serve mammon. People who are lost because they're searching for fame. People who are lost in drugs. People who are lost in sexual addiction. People who are just completely clueless and lost and can care less about where they are, where they're going, because the God of this world has blinded their minds. We pray, Lord, that you would have mercy. Mercy. And the psalmist says, and Moses said, and the authors of Scripture remind us that your mercies are renewed every morning, which tells us that we can come to you every single day and pray for the lost. Even if they exhausted yesterday's mercy, today there's a new batch of mercy waiting for them. And it's based on that new mercy that we plead on their behalf. We stand in the gap like Abraham stood in the gap when he prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah. We pray for our Sodom and Gomorrah, wherever we may live. We pray to the God of all the earth, to the judge of all the earth, that he would spare sinners and draw them to Christ. And we pray for preachers that they would lift up Jesus. For Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. So let the preachers today, whether they be ordained preachers, commissioned preachers, licensed preachers, lay preachers, preachers on all levels, let them all do one thing and one thing alone: lift up Jesus. It is only when we lift up Jesus that souls are drawn to the cross, to the Savior, into the kingdom. We pray, Lord, for the lost. You have put us under divine obligation to pray. And Lord, we're fulfilling your mandate to pray. To pray for sinners. To pray for their salvation. To pray for their deliverance. To pray that you would set them free. To pray that they would be turned from the power of Satan to the power of God. To pray that you would open up their eyes. To pray that you would grant them eternal life. To pray that they would be added to the household of faith. We pray, Lord, for revival. Revive the souls of dead men. You say to us in the book of Ephesians, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins, he has quickened. Oh, there was a day when I walked around dead in my sins. And then you spoke like you spoke to Lazarus. And you said to me, like you said to Lazarus, come forth. And when I heard your glorious voice, I was resurrected to newness of life. Let these sinners who sit, as it says in the Gospel of Matthew, they sit in the region of darkness and death, let them hear the voice of the Son of God saying, come forth. Let them be born again. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Now I want to play for you the hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. And Jesus loves souls. And this is why we can pray confidently that he would protect our soul and that he would rescue the souls of sinners. Here we have it, Jesus, Lover of My Soul.
Jesus.
joy begins with a choice. And that choice should be to establish a genuine relationship with God and His Son. Joy does not depend upon your circumstances, but upon your relationship with God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, You are my loving Heavenly Father, and You created me in Christ Jesus to conform to the image of Your Son. As Your faithful child, I will make Your joy my joy. I will praise Your works. I will obey Your word. I will honor Your Son this day and every day of my life. Amen. Psalm 117 reads like this. Praise the Lord, all nations. Glorify Him, all people. For great is His faithful love to us. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray right now for the joy of the Lord. There's so many of us who are sad. We're sad beyond despair. And joy is a choice. The psalmist says, the joy of the Lord is my what? Is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If we're sad, if we're depressed, we just got to get the hold of the Lord. So let's pray. Listen, no one's denying the fact that depression is not real. Being discouraged is not real. Of course it's real. I've been there. You've been there. We've all been there. But let's just pray that we would get a hold of God's joy. God's joy. That's what we need. That's what you and I need. Why? Because then it is His joy that becomes our strength. And when His joy becomes your strength, you feel indestructible in God. So let's pray. Lord, we have, as of a few weeks now, we have been going through some very, very difficult storms. The storms of life have battered us so. We have received such a wallop from these storms of life. It almost seems like we are lifeless. We've been hit so many times. We are so dispirited. We have no more energy. No more life, no more fight in us. And we're ready to give up. But we pray right now that You would restore to us Your joy, Your happiness. Put a smile back on our face. Put hope right back in our hearts. Put faith back in our minds. Let us remember all the things that You say in Your word about us. And let us, as the psalmist said, let us praise the Lord. Let us never forget His great and faithful love to us. Let us remember that the Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Let us glorify Him, because He never lets His people down. We're down. Yes, Lord, we are down. But we're getting up. We're getting up because we're in prayer. We're getting up because we're in the presence of our God. We're getting up because God is making us over. We're getting up because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Engulf us in Your joy. Engulf us in Your love. Engulf us in Your tender mercies. And by so doing, Lord, it shall be confirmed once again that we were never alone when we went through these storms. We were never abandoned. We were never left as orphans. It was simply a test to bring us to another level of Christian maturity. Oh, how we praise thee, O God, for in your wisdom you have used these life storms to cause us to grow just a little bit more. We praise you, O God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Have another beautiful hymn for you that should remind you once again, should remind you that you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ our Lord. Victory in Jesus is the name of the song. Let's listen. Victory. Victory in Jesus. Hearing that? Oh, victory in Jesus. Oh, victory is found in whom? In Jesus. Why? He is my Savior forever. He's my Savior for how long? For this year only? He was only your Savior last year? No. He's your deliverer. He's your healer. He's your Savior. He's your rescuer. He's your teacher. He's your guide. He's your master forever. Forever. And even when we stop following him, he never stops going after us. Think about that. Even when you go and you backslide, you have the good shepherd leaving the 99 to go after you and to go after me. Oh, he's our Savior forever. We leave the flock. We think that we can do things on our own, not knowing that there are wolves and hyenas and jackals and bears and lions, predators just waiting to pick us off. And here comes the Savior. He leaves the 99 well protected to go look for that one sheep. Oh, victory in Jesus. Why? Because he's my Savior, your Savior, for what? Forever. Amen. Let's listen.
Thank you.
That is what we call music to our ears and music for our souls. Victory in Jesus. Victory only in whom? In Jesus, in none other, but victory in Jesus. Right now, we want to pray for the needs that we have. We have needs. Some of us are in need of a car, a vehicle to get around. Some of us are in need of a new place to live. Others, we're in need of employment, a new employment. We have employment, but we just need an upgrade in our employment. The job isn't paying enough. Our bills are just, they're overwhelming, and we are working, we are being faithful, we are showing up, we are punching in, we're doing everything possible, yet the monies we're getting paid just don't, they just don't help us make ends meet. And so we want to pray for those who don't have jobs for a job, those who do have a job but need more money. We're not praying for a second job, we're praying for a better job. Those of us who need a car, many of us. I hope you're praying for Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. There are things that this ministry needs. We're looking to get a property, to expand, to just do some things. We're praying. And all of you have needs. We over here have needs. And some of us are in need of healing. Some of us are in need of a deliverance. We have a child who is wayward, a child possibly involved in drugs, alcohol, the selling of drugs, children who have run away from home, prodigal children. So we're going to be praying. We're going to be bringing all of our needs. And in this case, we want to label them cares. C-A-R-E-S, cares, plural, cares. Because there are things that we're carrying, things that they're called burdens, cares, the cares of this life, issues, things that have come up. And it's these cares that don't allow us to sleep, they don't allow us to think right, they don't allow us to remain focused in Christ, they deplete us of our strength, of our desire to live, of our will to go on, to move forward. Cares can weigh you down. And this is why Peter tells us, casting all your cares or all your problems upon him, for he what? He careth. He does what? He careth. For whom? For you. He careth for you. Who cares for you? God cares for you. Yes, he does. God does care for you. And he cares for me. So now we want to bring our needs, cares. Now, if you want a fourth car, don't bother. No, this is not because you want to have you have an 8-car garage and you want car number 4 and car number no. This is not about what you want. This is not about your summer home. We're not praying for summer homes. We're praying for people who are homeless right now. People who are homeless, but they're living with a relative, and they know they can't remain there forever. At some point in time, you're going to have to leave your relative's home to get your own home. So these are real cares, not wants, not luxuries, no, cares. So let's pray right now. Father, we come to you because the Apostle Peter encourages us, told us, reminded us that we should bring our cares to you, to roll them off of our shoulders and to roll them onto your shoulders. Cares. To place them on you. Why? Because you care for us. If we're perplexed about our homelessness, so are you. If we're perplexed about the fact that we have a full-time job, yet we can't stretch the money to pay our bills, so are you. If we're perplexed about not having a vehicle, not having whether it be a vehicle to go to doctor's appointments and to take our children to school, or perhaps it's a vehicle for ministry. Perhaps it is a ministry vehicle. We need a ministry vehicle to do the Lord's work, whatever the situation, whatever our financial situation may be, whatever our health situation may be. Perhaps we've received a diagnosis from the doctor and it's not good. Whatever it is that keeps us up at night, that causes us to be vexed in our spirits, whatever it is that's causing us to have sudden insomnia, and we can't stop the tears and we can't stop worrying. Now, Lord, we take those things that burden us so, that sap us of our spiritual energy, and we bring them right now and we say, Lord, take my problems and solve them. Now, Peter, Lord, didn't say cast your cares upon him because he careth for you, and we'll just roll it off and give it to the Lord because he cares. No, it means more than that. He cares and he will solve. We're casting our cares. We're giving you our cares because you really do care about our cares, but also you're going to solve those things. You're going to fix those things. You're going to resolve the things that vex us. And so, Lord, we give you everything. We have a wayward child. We have a runaway child. We have a child on drugs. We have a child that's dabbling with alcohol. We have a child that's dabbling with promiscuity. We have a child, oh God, who would rather listen to their friends than to their parents. Oh, we give you that child, Lord. We give you everything in our life that robs us of our peace and our joy. We give it to you, Lord. We give it to you. Why? Because not only do you care, not only are you really interested, not only are you genuinely concerned about us, but then you also promise that you will come through. You will solve it. You will handle it, that it is no longer our problem. So when we gave you our problem, you're going to give us back your solution. And all we can do right now, Lord, is just praise you for your goodness, praise you for your mercy, praise you for your loving kindness. Just praise you, because you're the God who always comes through with flying colors. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We just praise you. We just praise you. We just praise you right now. We just praise you. We just praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to play this hymn for you entitled, He is Able to Deliver Thee. Able. God is able to deliver thee. Listen to this hymn. It reads like this. He is able to deliver thee. He's able to deliver thee. Thou by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Think of that. He is able to deliver thee. He's able to deliver thee. Thou by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Listen. Listen, 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 listen to this instrumental. And think of these words. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. thou by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Now, that hymn says he is able to deliver thee. But now I have a second hymn, and in this second hymn is entitled, He is more than able to deliver thee. More than able. Now, the first one was, he is able to deliver thee. This one is, he is more able to deliver thee. Let's listen to this one. Oh, yes. Yes, he is more than able. More than able. If you just thought that he was able, I'm here to tell you he's more than able. Paul put it this way. When we pray, it is God who always does exceedingly, abundantly, above what we could ask or even imagine. Here you are, you come before God with a list, and you're praying for six things, and God sends you 10 things. See, even God supersedes your list. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what you could ask, above what's on your list, or above what you can even imagine in your mind. God, He is more than able, more than able. And this is why I want you to turn to Psalm 25, Psalm number 25. And let us read Psalm 25, verses 1 and 2. It says, "To you, O Lord, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me." This is a prayer. The first part of this psalm is a prayer. It's a prayer of what? Deliverance. That's what it is. Psalm 25, the first part of verse 25 is a prayer for deliverance. And David here writes, "To you, O Lord, I do what? Lift up my soul." When I was pastoring local churches, and people would ask for appointments, they would always come to the office in hopes that they could unload their problems, their cares on me. If you were to apply this to church folk today, if you were to take Psalm 23 and rewrite it from church folks' perspective, we would read Psalm 23 this way. "To you, O pastor, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my pastor." That's the way it would be written if church folk would write it. And I can remember people coming throughout the day for counseling. And even before they would ever get to unload on me, I would say to them, "Come here, let's pray," and we would kneel. And I would pray and say, "To you, O Lord, do we lift up our souls." See, I would lead them to the Lord. They wanted to come to me. They wanted to unload on me. They wanted to give me their cares. But I can't solve their cares. I can't even solve my own cares. I can't resolve my own issues. So throughout the day, I was kneeling down in the office with whatever member it was who was coming to unload, and I would say, "To you, O Lord, do we lift up our souls. In you, O Lord, do we trust. Do not let us be put to shame, nor let our enemies triumph over us." See, this is a prayer for what? Deliverance. It's a prayer of survival. And I understand, listen, I understand completely, I understand wholeheartedly that people are going through the closest thing that they have on this earth to someone who cares like the Lord cares is the pastor. I understand that. But, you see, in order to survive, you can't survive by leaning on your pastor. For the hymn writer wrote, "Leaning on the everlasting arms." Your pastor doesn't have everlasting arms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. No. See, if you want to survive, you got to know who you should pray to. A lot of people today are waiting for appointments with their pastor. Sometimes they have to wait 3 months, 6 months. And until then, they feel like they're dying. They can't survive because in their minds, their pastor has become their savior. Whether the pastor has promoted that kind of thinking or whether the thinking arises in the hearts of the people themselves. Either way, anyone who thinks that way, anyone who believes that, will not survive the storms of life. And so David, King David, the great psalmist of old, he says, "To you, O Lord, to you, O Lord, I do what? I lift up my soul." You want to survive? Go to God. Don't go to any man. In fact, the Bible says, "Curseth." There's a curse attached to anyone who trusts or leans or puts their confidence in the arm of flesh. In fact, there's a curse. For those of you who are running to man for help, you will not survive. You will not survive. Why? Because the only way to survive, the only way to not have your enemies triumph over you, is to do like David did. He said, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God." I'm putting all my eggs into one basket. Whose basket? The Lord's basket. In thee, O Lord, do I put all of my trust. You want to survive? Turn to God. You want to survive? Turn to God completely. Not just, see, you want to survive is the first question, turn to God. But if you want to survive, now you need to turn to God completely and permanently. Don't turn to God and then after you have your little appointment with God, you're running over to meet the pastor because you don't know if God's going to handle it for you or not. And so I can remember these long counseling sessions that were supposed to last an hour, they were very short. They were extremely short. Why? Because the Lord is a fast worker. See, once you get on your knees and once you pray one of these psalms and once you go through them in 5-10 minutes, the person leaves the office what? Uplifted. Why? Because they have cast their cares upon him, and as a result, they know what? That they're going to what? Survive. David says in verse 3, "No one whose hope is in you, no one who puts their hope in you will ever be put to shame. But they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse." See? No God-fearing person, no person who's been living according to God's word, when they put their hope and trust in God, are they ever embarrassed? They survive everything the devil brings their way. Pray to survive? Pray to God. You want to pray? You want to pray to survive? Pray to God completely. Trust in him completely. And what is the assurance? That you'll never be embarrassed. He will never let you down because God has never let anyone down who has put their trust in him. Never, ever let anyone down who said, "The Lord is my God." And so you want to survive? Pray Psalm 25, 1, 2, and 3. And you will see how God will come to your rescue all the time. Let's pray. Father, we come to you right now. And as we close this prayer service, right now, Lord, we want to pray for all the churches around the world. We want to pray for the churches. That includes pastors. That includes supporting staff. That includes membership. Lord, right now, we pray for your church universal. We pray, Lord, that you will send a sweeping revival throughout the land, that you would raise up true shepherds and vanquish and get rid of wolves in sheep's clothing. We pray, Lord, that your flocks would be nourished. Pray, Lord God, that you would restore holiness back to the church as a standard of living. Lord, we pray that you would restore sound preaching and teaching of your word. Lord, we pray that you would restore the church back in the hands of the people and not the hands of one family. Lord, we just pray right now for the well-being of your church. Lord Jesus, you are the head of the church. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would set your house in order. We pray for Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church and all that it endeavors to do in its small contribution. Bless this ministry, Lord. Bless it. Bless it, Lord. Cause it to be everything that you purposed it to be. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen, amen, amen. And the people of God say, amen. As we close the prayer service, we have one more hymn entitled, Thou Art Weary. And if you are, just turn to the Lord. God bless you. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow for your word of what? Encouragement. Tomorrow, Wednesday, a word of encouragement from Radio Shepherd to you. Until then, may the Lord keep you. May the Lord watch over you. May the Lord protect you. Amen.
following, keeping struggling. Is he sure to let saints, apostles, prophets?